as we continue our study through Romans. Today's title is Freedom in Slavery. It's kind of a catchy title, and we'll think about that. Freedom in Slavery. And so let's, to honor God's Word, let's stand to our feet and read as you get that passage, Romans chapter 6. We'll be looking at verse 15. The Word of God says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slave whom you obey, whether to sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for time we can come here and worship you. We ask you, Lord, that you just hide me behind the cross. May my word go forth. May you be glorified and use me in spite of myself, that Christ might be glorified. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, slavery did not end with President Lincoln and his Emancipation Proclamation over 100 years ago. You say, what are you talking about? They're still slaves today, don't get me wrong, physically, socially, politically. And I'm glad it's fewer and fewer every year. Praise God for that. But I'm talking about something spiritual now as a whole. I want us to think of a spiritual sense. We're going to see through our scriptures today that there's no true free people in this room today. You understand that? I know we're proud of that as Americans, and we live in the greatest nation, okay? Don't get me wrong. And we're all about freedom, but there's nobody that's truly free in this room today. And we'll see that through our scriptures. I want us to keep that in mind. Slavery is a despised word for the most part. Men have fought and died. The tyranny of slavery, the tyranny of people may be done away with, and that this slavery can be abolished. And in one concept, it's despised, but in another, we'll see that when we understand that, the Scripture will show us that we're slaves unto God when we become His children, that it can be loved. And Paul's going to teach us that today. And it's not a forced slavery, it's a volunteer thing. And so our goal is to be faithful in our position, as we'll see today. Paul's argument, as he began last week in the first part of 6, and we preached that last time, he was talking about our union with Christ, our union with Him, and how that he used baptism as the metaphor, and how that we died to ourselves, we've raised again to walk. And so that union that he showed us, that we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. Thank goodness for grace. But he also knew, when he preached about that abounding grace in 5, and that people, we talked about this last week, that people will take advantage of that. They'll say, well, now, if we're under grace, that means we can do any old thing we want to because we're saved. We're not condemned, we say, our memory verse. We're not condemned, so what would be wrong with, you know, if I'm not under the law, what would be wrong with just sinning every now and then? You say, surely nobody thinks like that. Oh, my friend, we all do. We all do. We're all guilty of, if we're not careful, taking advantage of the grace of God. And we'll talk about it. He's not this week in 15 through 23. He's going to be dealing with our responsibility, man's responsibility as a Christian. And I want us to look at three truths this morning, at freedom in slavery. Freedom in slavery. First, the principle. Look at verses 15 through 16. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not," he said. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey, whether to sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" Paul kind of asked the same question that he began with last week in verse 1 of chapter 6, but it's a little bit different. He says, shall we sin because we're not under the law anymore but under grace? And what does he say? Certainly not. God forbid that we should think that way. He's letting us know that our inspiration, listen, I want you to know something this morning. The reason that we live for Christ is not out of a fear of not meeting the law, but it's out of gratitude for what He has done for us. We should be the most, our life should live out our gratitude of what Christ has done for us, God has done through us through Christ. That's our motivation. It's not trying to earn His love. Through Christ, we earn that. Man, that's a love that can never be taken from us. But out of sheer gratitude and love for Him for what He's done for us, our life should manifest Christ every day. See, we don't fear being condemned, but we should fear bringing shame to the name. I can't tell you how many times I pray. I'm a man, just like anybody else. I struggle with all kinds of things. And I don't know how many times I've prayed, Lord, take me out before I bring shame to Your name. Take me out, Lord, before I would bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ. We should feel that way as Christians. We should want to represent our Lord and Savior so much that anything that would look... I want you to know here something this morning. It says a stain from even the appearance of evil. That's what the Scripture says. And yet we'll walk that thin line. We love to surf the gray area and think, well, as long as I'm not doing it with them, I can hang out with them. We rationalize. Come on. We rationalize. And He says it's stained from even the appearance of evil. Our life should line up with God's Word and what He says. This is the way it's supposed to look. And we should abstain from anything that looks otherwise. And so Paul's letting us know here. He's saying, hey, we're not under law anymore. So he realized, hey, if I don't have, what the Jews had made the law? Do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Well, now, if I don't do this, and I do this, I'm good with God. I'm telling you, most of our Christianity is like that. If all your Christianity is do's and don'ts, you're missing out on a great blessing in serving the Lord in freedom. Paul said, hey, it's just do's and don'ts. But and so they say, well, if that's been removed, he's preaching grace. We're not under. They worked so hard. If they lived by the law of God, that made them in right standing to what they said. So if you take that away, then how is it? I've got this grace, and that means He's just going to love me, and I can do whatever I want to. Paul said, no way. That it's not what he's saying whatsoever. He said, certainly not. He gives us this motivation. And then he uses the metaphor of slavery this week. And to help them understand, look at verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Listen, he uses that. He uses slavery. You don't think that they don't get it. Why? One third of all Rome was slaves. The whole place, the whole city, it was full of slaves. And at one time or the other, most of the people that he's speaking to here was either a slave or a slave now, or was a slave at one time that worked herself out of that situation. In fact, most of your commentaries, your theologians say probably half of the church at Rome were slaves or had once been one. So when he uses that myth, they know exactly what he's talking about. And here's the principle. What's he saying when in verse 16? Whatever you are obedient to, you are a slave to. Come on. Now listen again. Whatever you're obedient to, you're a slave to. So what are you talking about, Brother Dave? What is it that drives you this morning? Is it your career? Is it fun? What is it that drives you? Is it lust? Whatever you're obedient to, that's your master. And that's what Paul's telling us in this principle. Whatever you're obedient to, whatever it is that drives your life, that's your master. That's your slave. And then he applies that to spiritually, and there's only two slaveries that he's going to speak about. First one is death, sin that led to death. And we all know that chapter 5 that we read that we're born. Adam passed, and when he brought sin into this world, everybody sins. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture told us. We're born into sin. But let me tell you, whenever we receive Jesus Christ, we're reborn. Come on. We're reborn into His blood and His righteousness. The birth that, we have this one birth that we're born, our mom and dad has us, and that sin that ushered in. But there comes a point in our life when we hear the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And when we hear that Word of God, and the Holy Spirit quickens our life, and we realize that we're living in a sinful life, and we receive God, and through Christ, we're reborn. We become a new creature in Christ. Paul says, listen, there's two slaveries. Either to yourself, sin and death. You're serving. Listen, you're serving one of these masters this morning. Please listen. You're either serving sin and yourself that leads to death, or you're serving God and His righteousness through Christ your Master that leads to life. And we'll see that summed up in the very last verse that you're very familiar with. So there's two masters you're serving here today. Nobody's free. No free men, no free women, no free boys and girls. Serving one of those two. And Jesus, listen, Jesus understood this concept. John chapter 8, in verse 32, He really talks about you, the truth that will set you free. We all know that. That verse where He says, "And the truth shall set you free." Listen to what they say back in John 8, verses 33. This is how the Israelites, they answered Him, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone." What about that 400 years in Egypt? What about the Babylonian captivity? Listen, I mean, people are just beat up. Oh, you ever seen? That's how we think. We've never been in bondage to anybody. And you say, how can we be made free? Listen to what Jesus said. Listen, verse 34 is what I want you to hear. Jesus answered them, and He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Jesus understood this concept. We're slaves to sin, or we're slaves to God. And Paul's showing that. Here's the truth of the matter. Sinners don't like to admit being sinful. Oh, we make every excuse in the Bible. We love old Freud when he come out. Freud just said, blame your mama and your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa. Just blame everybody, but don't blame yourself. We bought into that garbage here in America, okay? That's what we buy into. Just blame somebody. The blame game. Well, my mom and daddy, they didn't show me right, so it's their fault. Guess what? The Scripture says ain't nobody's fault but yours. In fact, I won't stand before God and give an account on what my mom and dad did. Now, there's an influence, mom and dad, I want you to tell you. You're a great influence in your children's life. That's very important. But they'll never stand because of you, though. They'll stand for their own sin. They'll stand for their own accountability. Everybody sitting here will. We can't blame anybody. You might have somebody say, "Well, if this hadn't happened, then this would have happened." Listen, all you got to do is say, "Listen, can Christ not save me from my sins? Can Christ not save me from my past? I don't know about you, but He saved me from a bad past. Can He not do that for anybody?" Yes, He can. Paul's letting them know here. Sinners don't like to admit it. Slavery to sin and death. That we don't like that idea of dying, but we're all heading that way. We don't like the idea of death stalks each and every one of us, but it's because sin ushered in. But when we step in and we die without Christ, we're stepping right over the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ that said, "All those that will come unto me, I will no wise cast out." He says that this morning. I don't know what your excuse might be today. You might say, "Oh, this, this, and this, and I need to quit doing that." No, all you need to do is accept the bloodstained banner of Christ this morning, and He'll save you, and He'll be your master when you leave here today. Not yourself and sin. Why are you so miserable? You say, "Well, I'm not miserable." Listen, when we boil down to it, if we don't have Christ, we all are. Because we try to figure out this world through the lenses of secular reasoning. Through human secularism, we try to figure it out. There's no answers, and it brings hopelessness. And we see our world that's turned upside down because it's full of men and women without hope because they try to reason logically. Oh, we're so smart. They try to reason logically, and you know what they want to do? They want to reason God right out of everything. He's not creator. Well, some billions and billions and billions of years ago, it all just fell into place. Listen, boom, one big old Big Bang Theory from the one point of a pen, all this universe. It takes more faith to believe that than it does there's a God that created it. They'll rationalize everything to try to get your thinking out of it. They want it to fit into the box of human thinking and logic. I want you to know something. God's outside of that box, and He stands supreme, and He says, "I created you, and I made everything good, but Adam brought sin into this world." He said, "But you know what? I sent my son, the second Adam, in here to save you from your sin. And you can have the life that you're looking for and the fulfillment that you're looking for in Jesus Christ, my son, if you'll just receive Him as your personal Savior." It's so simple, and yet we want to complicate it so greatly. Paul says, "Hey, you know what? Just for the record, we can't serve these two masters at the same time." See, we, We like that, split that fence. We like to think we can ride the rail. You cannot. You're either serving sin, self, that leads to death, or you're serving Christ and righteousness that leads to life this morning. There's no middle ground. You can't serve the same two at the same time. There's only one master. In fact, Jesus said that you can't serve God and mammon, didn't he? So you're going to serve one master or the other in the Sermon on the Mount. And here's the deal. It's revealed in actions, not what we say. We can say all day long, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, but our actions play it out. And what we do reveals our ownership. It reveals who our master is. Question is, are we progressing in holiness? We're going to see that. That's one of the outcomes of having Christ as our master, that we're growing in this holiness, this sanctification, this walk that he's told us to walk in. That's the principle. Look at the position. Look at verses 17 through 19. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Paul's giving them an example. You know who he's using? Them. He's using the Roman church. He's saying, look at your own self, look at your own life, and how you were changed. So they've undergone great change in their life. Why? Christ had come in. When Christ comes in, there's going to be a change. And he said, they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, the teaching of Christ. And they had committed it to their lives. And they committed it through an obedient life. That's what plays out. An obedient life unto Christ. Things are different now. In fact, of what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things have become new. All things passed away. Everything's become new. Has that happened in your life? Has there been a time that things became new? Now listen, I realize that each person's testimony is different. I do. I realize that some of you grew up in a Christian home, and you ought to praise God for that. You even had grandma and grandpa taught you about Jesus all the way up. Praise God for that. And so your testimony is not going to be like an old heathen redneck like mine. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus came in, something changed in my life. He saved me from sin. I was walking this way, and I loved to party and do all those things. And when Jesus came in, you know what? I didn't want to party no more. I realized life was a party with him. I didn't have to come down from a high. I was high all the time. If Jesus is in your life, you can have all you want right there with him. He changes, and it could be a process that it's a little longer. And like I said, you could have grown up in a Christian home and you didn't get out in the world. Thank God for that. That's the greatest testimony, by the way, the person can stand up and say, I never done it. That's a great testimony. But listen, there's something going to change in your life. There's going to be a difference, and that's what Paul's letting them know here. He said this continuation, the things are different now. This old things have passed away. I can't help it. And you've heard me mention this several times. My dad was a heathen. I didn't grow up with a godly dad. I grew up with a dad that drunk, cussed, did it all. I'm going to tell you what happened, though. One night I went over, I was laid on my heart to pray with him. He was sick, he got sick, and the Lord laid it on my heart. I'll never forget. I was praying for him. The Lord said, go over and pray with him. And you know, when you know your dad's not living like you should, that's difficult sometimes. But I went in there and set him down on a chair and prayed with him and prayed the Lord would touch him where he was at. And you know what he told me? Before he died, he said, that's when I got saved. That's when I got saved. And from that moment on, you know what happened? My dad changed. He never prayed in his life. He journaled about praying with his mama for the first time. You want to see something? You want to see a kid that's in a candy store? A man that had never prayed and he journaled. I've got his journal entry. He said, I prayed with my mama for the first time. He said, I can't tell you what a wonderful experience that it was. You know why? He went from death to life. I'm as convinced of his salvation as I am my own. Why? Because I grew up with him. And I saw what the Lord did. He had witnessed to that cup of water. You know? Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. because he realized, you know what he had realized? The hardest thing, he had wasted so much of his life, and he couldn't go back and undo it. And so he was burnt white hot as long as he could until he passed, telling people about Christ. And so there's a change. It comes, this master, this position. Paul said, you know what, we obeyed our former self, our sinfulness, our slave, our sinful master that was ourselves and sin. He said, we obeyed that in the past, but now look, and it really, obeying, and here's the key about that. When we obey sin and ourselves, it's license. It's really talking about license. We just the license to do whatever we want to do. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do, and you won't tell me what to do. But when we obey our other master, when we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it's called liberty. I have liberty to live for Jesus Christ. And you know what? I can go to bed at night and sleep knowing that my sins are forgiven, covered by the blood. That I'll never stand condemned one day, but that doesn't give me a license to say, well, I can just live all the life I want to. That gives me this burning desire to please my master and to live for him. Until he returns or he takes me on home. You've heard me say this before. If I flop out up here, God just decides to take me while I'm preaching, you just stand up and sing glory hallelujah on the way on up, okay? What a way to go, Herbert, preaching the Word of God. Listen, I'm ready not because of what I've done. I didn't. You know what I deserve? Death, hell, and the grave. But what Christ did, he made me a new creature in him. I've got something that you can't take. You can take everything I got from me, but you can't take Jesus. I got an anchor that holds no matter what storm that comes. Holds. It's called Christ. And Paul's letting them know this. Man, we have this position in him. We've obeyed. And then look at what verse 19 says. This is a call to obedience and slavery. He says, now our master's not sin. And that's what he's saying in 19. I speak in human terms. For you, just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more and lawlessness, Paul. And you know what he said? He said, that old master, it grew in sinfulness. I just kept sinning, getting more sin. But he said, now, you know what? Here's the deal. If you're new slaves in Christ, then you should be growing in Christ. We're talking personal sanctification. We're talking holiness, something that's not preached a whole lot today. It's not just getting our fire insurance and saying, get out of hell free card. It's growing in Christ every day. Just like the old master led to more sinfulness and more excuses, the new master leads to more holiness and living and growing in the Lord. Every day. Totally sold out. That's what I can't believe. What's going on in our world today? We just like to get by. We settle for less. When he's looking, Paul's saying, man, when you're a master to Christ, we're growing in our understanding and our life for him, and we're being more and more like Christ as we go to where we're completely sold out to him. Who are we slaves to today? He's saying, man, being totally sold out. What is that command? Obedience is not a popular word today, okay? It's a call to commitment, holiness, sanctification. In fact, obey is a cultural four-letter word. Okay? It's a cultural kind of slang word or obscenity. Here's the deal. Everybody likes cheap grace. Everybody likes a preacher to get up and smile real big and tell you how good you are. You just believe in Jesus. That's right. You just feel good about yourself. Let me tell you, what you need to do is you just need to pray and believe God will bless you with a lot more money. That's what they think. They use our materialistic nature and they say, hey, you just keep God first and he'll bless you with all kinds of material possessions. Well, what did they do with Jesus? Jesus didn't have nothing. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What did they do with Jesus? He would be homeless compared to us. It wasn't about material wealth. It was about spiritual wealth. And him saying, hey, you know what? I want you to obey and grow in grace. Everybody likes cheap grace. You'd love for me to get up here and just tell you how good you are without no repentance. That's not the word. Bible says, hey, we're all born into sin. We all need to repent. We all need to be growing in grace and knowledge of God. We all need personal sanctification. There's nobody in this room right here that has arrived. Nobody. We're all growing in the Lord. We're all growing as we go. And we get closer. One of these days, I like that old, who was it saying, I hope there's no big change? Was that Gold City? One day Jesus is going to call my name and things go the right. I hope it don't be the same. He said, I want to get so close to him, there's no big change on the day that Jesus called my name. That's Gold City. I want it to be that I'm growing in him so one of these days, now you know that, you know when heaven comes that we're going to be shouting, right? Might as well shout now. Go ahead. Because you're not going to stay quiet when you get up there, all right? You're going to be realized that when your faith becomes sight, what a great day that is when our faith becomes sight before the Lord. Listen, he says, hey, Jesus said, if you love me, you know what he said you'd do? You'll obey. You'll obey what he's told you to do. You'll obey. We're not doing good. We're not doing God this great favor so we can get extra credit. That's what we'll do. I had a pretty good week this week. Yeah, I didn't cuss or chew or drink or didn't, wasn't nobody that did. And so I've had a pretty good week this week. Listen, it's not for extra credit. You're not earning his love. In fact, you know what it is with him? It's pass fail. Okay? It's pass fail. You're either a child of God or you're not. Period. And if we are one, then it should motivate us to do these things. Not that it makes us more right, but that it makes us obedient unto him. It's not extra credit. Live in accordance to what you are. What are you? You a master to sin in yourself, or are you a master, a slave that is your master, Jesus Christ in righteousness? Live what you are. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. Listen, holiness is a question of service, not our mood. Hello, that's a great quote. Holiness is a question of service, not our mood. Someday you don't feel like it. We in America, we're in touch with our feelings. Oh, I feel good today. I think I'll go to church. I don't feel like going to church today. I'm going to watch Charles Stanley. I'm serious. It's our mood. We're fickle. And your moods, listen, your moods can sway you eat one way or the other. It's a matter of service. He's called us all to serve together in this wonderful thing called church. That's the family of God. To serve together. To grow together. To do life. To do death together. To go through the hardship. The good times and the bad times. Listen, that's what he's called us to do. And to serve him and to grow in him as we go. When we don't live a life that we profess, it's a walking contradiction, okay? Really, that's the key to the church today, what's going on, why we're not strong, why we're not what we should be. Why? Because many of us are saying, and we're not, our lives are not living out what the Word of God says. People are disenchanted with that. I'm going to tell you what, these millennials don't want nothing to do that, do they? They want to see it. Not just say it. Let's see you live it out. Let's see what it looks like, flesh and blood. And when you come against all these different things, they want to see it lived out. You can holler all day long, but it's your life that plays it out. That's why they're so disenchanted with organized religion and the church and all that. They're so tired of seeing a bunch say one thing and living like the world. No difference. They want to see something that will change you, make a difference. That's our position. And then lastly, is the paradox. I want you to look at verses 20 through 23. He says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regardless to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now having been set free from sin and having become slave to God, you have your faith to holiness and the end everlasting life. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's using the comparison and the contrast between these two slaveries continue. Each slavery is also a kind of freedom, and yet each freedom is kind of a kind of slavery. You say, what are you talking about? When you were slaves to sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, you didn't have to care about pleasing God. When Christ wasn't your master, you just did whatever you wanted to do. You were the master. You were the Lord. So you really wasn't. It wasn't like you were trying to comply to help to please anybody else. And you were from that control of righteousness. Better. That would be the license we are talking about. But for the end of those things, it equals what? Death. said, but preacher, we're all going to die. Yes, we are physically. Some of us, though, are going to die eternally if we haven't received Jesus Christ. Eternal death, the second death. That's the thing that he's speaking about here. We know that sin ushered death in. We're physically going to die unless Christ comes back. Are you ready for the rapture if it would happen at any time? But then we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. There's no flesh and bone going to, no flesh and blood going to enter heaven. So death comes, but we're talking about a second death, an eternal death, a spiritual death, a separation from God. But he says, but now, I love these but nows, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit, the holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That slavery would be better called the liberty in Christ. That slavery to that master means that we have life. One day, whenever it comes time for me to leave this world, it can happen any time, by the way. We're no guarantee. I'm going to step out of this life into the other because of what Christ has done. He bridged the gap between earth and heaven through the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep on living in Him. Paul's saying that's what when we have this slavery under our master Christ, it's a liberty to live without the sting of death always haunting us. And we need to let's evaluate these two slaveries here. Sin, and it talks about being ashamed. I don't know about you, but there's some things in my background, my past, that I'm ashamed of. I wasn't ashamed of them before. Why? Because sin was my master. Self was my master. But now he talks about that we're ashamed, he said. The things which now you are ashamed, when you become a child of God, you realize that your master was yourself and sin, and you represented it well. And he says that ends in death. But then he talks about, but for God, but for holiness and the end. So now that Christ is my master, holiness or sanctification or being more like Christ is my goal in life. And I'm working towards that goal now instead of working the other way, the opposite way. And he's saying that leads to eternal life. You realize 15 billion years from now, I'm still going to be alive. If you're a child of God, you're going to have to put up with me 15 billion years from now. That's just the start. That's just the start. That's eternal life. We can't comprehend it because we live in the box of time and space. You've heard me talk about this. And so we can't comprehend eternal life going on forever and ever and ever. But that's what God says when Christ is our master and we're working towards righteousness. There's life in that. And that brings liberty and freedom. We don't have to worry about certain things coming. So there's freedom. There's a freedom which spells death and a bondage which spells life. That's a paradox. Think about that. There's a freedom which spells death and a bondage which spells life. And 23, verse 23 that we all know or should know, draws the final conclusion. Those that are in Adam that serve sin, what do? We earn a wage. We all know what a wage is. Come on. You work hard. You work hard, man. It gets the end of that week or 2 weeks or once a month. Dear Lord, that once a month. It's like, please, Lord, let it come. You've worked. You earned a wage. He says the wages of sin is what? Death. We earn death. That's what we earn. But he doesn't stop there, though. But those in Christ receive eternal life. But, he says, but the gift of God. Did you earn a gift? If you did, it's not a gift. Okay? Some of us think it we do. I'm working real hard to get what I want, this gift I want. Listen, you're earning it. It's not a gift. He says the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do? I didn't earn. I earned death, but all I have to do is take the gift of Christ for life. Why do we make that so complicated? Why is that so difficult to understand? Because in our mind, we think we have to earn it. We've got to do something. Jesus said, just receive the gift. He said, you don't have to do. I've already done. Come on. You don't have to do. I've already done it. Just take it. Receive it. Don't reject it. By birth, we're in Adam and slaves to sin. By grace and faith, we are in Christ, slaves to God. All changed. Death becomes life. We choose to sin. Listen to this. We choose to sin. If we do that, it's only because we listen to a voice that we don't have to heed. It's no longer our master anymore. Who are we serving this morning? Applications, and we'll be done. Linda, come on, play. Who do you serve this morning? Who do you serve? Say, well, that now. How do I know that? We've already talked about it. Your life plays out who you're serving. Who are you serving? Is it about you, what you want? Or is it about Christ and what He wants for you? Secondly, do you serve your master well? Listen. Did Jesus die for you? If He died for you and you accepted His forgiveness for your sin, shouldn't you be giving Him your very best? He gave His very best for you. He gave everything He had. And yet we'll just give Him on scraps, leftovers, just whatever we decide we're going to push His way. Oh, we're so tired. Oh. We just give Him what's left over. You serve your master well? Lastly, choose to serve life and not death this morning. You realize somebody that's here that don't know Jesus Christ has never received Him as their personal Savior. He's holding out the gift. He's just saying, hey, come unto me, all you heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light. You won't push that away. You won't say, hey, I need to quit doing this. I need to quit doing that. I need to do. You don't need to do anything. Just receive the gift this morning. Let's stand to our feet. You would. I'm not going to tarry very long. If God's spoken to your heart, you know you're lost, you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you've probably been playing with that a long time. Today's the day to lay it down. Receive Christ. He's here. He's going to save somebody today. It's your choice. A gift. He's holding the gift out. Say, just come receive it. Maybe you know what, He's my Savior, but just to be honest with you, I'm just not giving my best. I'm just, kind of getting by, just playing the game of church or trying to play a game as a Christian. Maybe today you need to say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to serve You. What is it that He said to you? When Brittany starts to sing, don't hesitate. Come forward. Don't hesitate. Don't let the devil steal what the Lord's doing. Who's your master? You know this morning. I've talked to about John and Madison. Come here, huh? I talked to these two, Madison, I talked to Corey last night, and they desire to join our church family here at Southport. Both of them are coming from sister churches, and so they're coming by letter. And so what is the pleasure of the church? Amen. We won't accept anything else out of that. Listen, they're going to come back with me. I want to ask you, maybe walking an aisle was something that, you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. I just want to go on the record of saying that. You can get saved right where you're at, just realizing and accepting Christ as your Savior. Savior, but I promise you're going to let somebody know it. You're not going to sit on it and be a closet Christian. Somebody's going to know it. If God saved you this morning, let somebody know that. Or if maybe you're dealing with something that you laid down, you know what? Walk in freedom and newness of life today in Christ. Don't let Satan buffet you anymore. Don't listen to a master that you've exchanged. He has no longer has a stronghold over you. I love each and every one of you. I appreciate being your pastor, but anytime you need to talk to me, that door's open. We're going to go back to the back. Lee's going to pray. You give these guys a right hand of fellowship. Go ahead, Lee.